Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Sherline.
Hello, and welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Sherline. Today is Friday, November 9th, and this is episode 13, lucky number 13. Now, if you've been following along with me on Twitter, you know the last couple of weeks I've been a little busy, and I apologize. I haven't gotten you any new content. I also had a little bit of eye surgery yesterday, and I had planned on giving you an update yesterday, but I couldn't really see the TV last night during the game, let alone sit in front of my computer and try to do this. So here I am today. I'm home from work. I had to take a sick day, unfortunately. I still can't really see. A little better. Definitely better than it was. But what are you going to do? So, I mean, we've missed quite a bit here. The Islanders went on a 5-game win streak. It started out with an overtime loss against Florida. As you know, the last time we got together, I was at that game. Then they strung together 5 wins, lost again in a shootout to Montreal the other night, and finally a regulation loss in all that last night against Tampa Bay. Ultimately, a lot of good stuff, a whole bunch of bad stuff as well. Seems to me that the power play isn't really clicking the way that it should be. I believe I had heard the second power play unit has yet to score a goal, which is just unacceptable at this point. The number one power play unit, which if you listened to the Secondary Assist podcast, which I was a guest on a few weeks back, we mentioned how there really is no number designation to both of those units, but I feel like there should be at this point because one seems to get the job done and the other clearly doesn't, which Andrew Gross from Newsday tweeted out a couple minutes ago that Anthony Beliveau was dropped from the second line to the fourth line in practice. He was also taken off power play unit number 2. Johnny Boychuk was also taken off power play unit number 2. Adam Pellick and Valtteri Filppula are the newcomers to that second power play unit. So clearly Barry Trotz is trying to work some magic, moving some personnel on and off to try to spark some offense in terms of the power play unit there, which is a good thing. I mean, how many times in the past have we seen Jack Capuano and Doug Weight just continue to roll out the same lines over and over and over? And the only time he would throw the players into a blender is if something completely wasn't working mid-game. So that's kind of unacceptable. For them, great for Barry Trotz. And you saw that a little bit last night in the game when he jumbled a couple of lines together, and that was when Bailey got his second goal. There was I don't remember who exactly was out there with him. I believe it was Bailey, Barzell, and maybe Lee. And it seemed they had a little bit of chemistry there too. Now, on to Matthew Barzell. I had tweeted out a couple of times that I would like to see him shoot the puck more. How many times on the power play over the last 20 chances has he done great carrying the puck into the zone, gaining the zone in general, and then he'll just skate around, make passes? For all the practicing that they seem to be doing, and it's reported that they're doing on the special teams units during practice, where's the shooting? They haven't been shooting at all. It seems like they're just working on passing. And I know that sounds really negative, and this is me with a little bit of pent-up anger here over the last couple weeks not being able to vent to you guys. But that's just ridiculous. Come on. Get into the zone, set up, quick passes, shots off passes. And they did that a little bit towards the end of the game last night. They had some of the best chances and looks that they've gotten over the last 4 games, maybe. So I want to see him shoot off of his speed. That's what made him so successful last year. Not just carrying the puck, because he's great at carrying the puck, handling the puck, especially at speed, but those shots off of that speed too. That's when you have goaltenders who can't stop that type of thing. You make a little bit of a move, you drop your shoulder while you're in stride, and that shot is even harder to handle. So, I mean, hopefully we see some good stuff. Now, if you hear this, I actually wrote some notes down this time. So since the Florida game, we have a couple of good things. Josh Bailey has proven that he is an absolute elite winger. Sorry, JT, I'm pretty sure that Lee and Bailey made you and not the other way around. Because since the Florida game, 7 games ago, Bailey has 3 goals and 8 assists. Nelson, 5 goals, 2 assists. Lee, 3 goals, 6 assists. Barzal is goalless, but he has 6 assists. Cizikas out of no place, 2 goals, 2 assists. He's probably been like one of the best forwards at this point. Jordan Eberle has started to pick it up. He has 4 goals and an assist. And then we have the goaltending, the children of the corn. Grice is 4-2-0 with a 1.98 goals against and a .940 save percentage with 1 shutout. Leonard is 4-3-0 with a 2.53 and a .924 save percentage with 1 shutout. Now, the NHL average, believe it or not, is 2.87 goals against and .908 save percentage. So both of the goaltenders are clearly learning everything that they possibly can from their new goaltending consultants slash coaches slash whatever you want to call them, amazing teachers. Both of these players are playing above what they have the last couple of seasons. Grice is playing even better now than he ever has for the New York Islanders. So those are things that are just absolutely good to see. So happy that, you know, we can even talk about something like this. It's just amazing. So, I mean, we got to definitely improve in some areas, and I'm sure that they will. I'm not liking the way that they're skating lately. They're kind of slow. The faster teams seem to definitely give them a whole bunch of trouble, which was evident against Montreal and to an extent last night in Tampa. I thought they played a decent game in Tampa, but with the firepower they have and some of the just the skill all over the place, Braden Point, you know, Steven Stamkos, Yanni Gourde, those guys, they're just all over the ice and gave the Islanders fits. And they didn't even have their best defenseman in the lineup last night. So, speaking of defensemen, Nick Leddy, come on, what the heck is going on with you? It's at the point where we can go back to our Nick Leddy drinking game again. Oh, look, a turnover. Time to take a shot. And I'm not talking about the players on the ice. I'm talking about the fans listening at home. So if you're watching Nick Leddy and you're playing this drinking game, chances are you're going to have to call in sick to work the next day because you're going to be pretty drunk. Unacceptable. Come on, guys. What's going on? Boychuk had like 8 shots last night on goal. Good to see. Still, what is happening? Nightvine, I'm sorry. Our defensemen are just sucking us down into the oblivion here. We really, 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 really need to generate some offense on the back end. And I'm not even 100% sure if that's Barry Trotz's game plan, you know? Maybe we're just used to that in the past where, you know, your defense activated. It seems like they only really have free reign like that on the power play. And then again, they're taking shots, they're going wide, they're looking for tips. Fire the puck on net, boys. Let's do this, all right? Shots. We all want shots. God, I'm aggravated today. All right, and I know I've been ripping into the defense here, so we're going to go into the defense a little more in depth now that I took some notes here. So we've got Leddy, Boychuk, Hickey, Mayfield, Pelech, and Pulak, because I can never say his stupid name right. Not that it's a stupid name. I'm sorry. You know, I'm just aggravated. Pollock, Pulak, Ryan. Let's just call him Ryan. How about that? RP. Anyway, Leddy has 9 shots over his last 8 games. He has 3 assists, and he's -1. Boychuk's got 12 shots. No points. None. +6. So he's been good on the positive side there. Hickey has 12 shots. He's a +4, and he only has 2 assists over the last 8. All this is over the last 8. Mayfield, 7 shots, +3, 1 goal. Pelech, the leader on the back end in shots at 17. He's a +6. He has 1 goal and 4 assists. RP, 11 shots. He's got a plus minus of zero, so he's even. And he's got one goal and three assists over the last eight. Those three assists came in the same game. So you look at all of these players that I mentioned, and the forwards are getting it done for the most part. But defense, what's going on? You gotta start to contribute here a little more. And out of all those shots, nothing. Most of them are on the power play too, I'm sure. And what are they doing? They're getting through, maybe getting some rebounds on some of those assists, the forwards, probably Lee in front, Bailey too. But you got to do stuff from the back end if you want to be successful. And Letty, I'm looking at you. Come on now. I keep ripping into this guy. This is probably the most angry I've been in 13 episodes. Maybe it's because it's number 13, or maybe it's because I'm just in a bad mood because my face hurts. I don't know. What are you going to do? A little more information here to show you. This one's going to go pretty much double what I've been doing over eight. But Reagan King, at Reagan King Isles, he was on one of our early episodes and talked about all of his fancy stats. He does these great charts with all this different information, and I'll post a link to it as well. But over the last 15 games played, the Islanders have scored 46 goals and allowed 37. They've taken 402 shots. Shots for of 44.4%. 5-on-5, 300 shots. That's 43.9%. Over that span, the Isles are 8-5-2. Now, you got all these other different numbers in here, too. So the 5-on-5 Corsi 4 is 43.4. 5-on-5 Fenwick is 43.71. 5-on-5 PDO is 104.7. Let's see. Save percentage combined, 932. Even strength save percentage, 938. You got danger save percentages. I don't really understand what this means, but 0.978, 0.938, 0.896. Special teams for the power play, 18.37%. The PK, much better, at a rate of 81.25. Their current playoff chances are at 43.22%. Projected points, 86.83. Average attendance, we're not even going to talk about. Goals by period, pretty much even across the board. So if you want to see some more great work by Reagan King, check out the link in the description. I'll post a link on Twitter as well. Actually, I'm just going to retweet this right now. So some interesting information there when you look at all like the fancy stats and whatnot. We already know some of what is happening just by my favorite term, the eye test. So we'll keep that in mind as we go forward here. Some of the other news that we should probably speak about is the amazing meetup that Isles Meetup Philly had down there in Philly for the Isles game. They had a really, really, really crap weather day in the rain, but it looked like they had a great time down there. Isles Meetup Tampa obviously had their first meetup of the season for an Islander game last night. It looked like they had a great time too. Lots of tailgating prior to the game down there at the Amalie Arena. Good times, great weather. Always a good time in Tampa. And we have a newcomer to the mix too. So welcome Isles Meetup Pitt. So you got a group of crazy Isles fans down there in Pittsburgh. Never been to Pittsburgh. That's on my list as well, as much as it's a long drive from Long Island, especially where I am on the East End. But welcome aboard there, Pittsburgh. Good to have you. Hopefully at some point we can get you guys on the podcast as well. All right. Now for a couple of Twitter questions, both of which from Nightvine. Number one, she says, what is wrong with Nick Letty? And the second, why is Pollock not on power play one? Now, as we saw earlier, it seems that there's going to be some changes on the power play, and without a doubt, they should switch Letty for Pulak, RP, as we said earlier, because, you know, I can never get his name right. I'd love to hear him try to say Sherline. Anyway, Letty has clearly either not here mentally, completely checked out, doesn't want anything to do with the Islanders, or he's just overthinking everything, gripping his stick like it's a tree branch like I had, or a tree trunk even, like I had posted the other day in a picture about Barzil. So he's got to fundamentally think about everything that he's doing wrong and just do the opposite. And I know that sounds like it's such a simple solution, right? I'm being facetious. He has to simplify his game. He's got to use that speed unless there's an injury, be it something with his back, his hips, his knees, his ankles, his head, his wrist, his back. Again, maybe his back is hurt twice. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't know. It's one of those things that is just so frustrating to watch is Nick Leddy. It's not the same Nick Leddy that we had a couple of seasons ago. Now, maybe he's regressed to the point where, who knows, he doesn't fit into this system. He's unhappy. We don't know. Maybe he's unhappy at home. Maybe he's unhappy in his personal life. I have no idea. Maybe he doesn't even know, you know? Not like you would know either. I just said you know. But something's got to be done. Take him off that power play unit. Swap him out. Maybe even cut his minutes back a little bit. But again, who do you have back there? Maybe sit him down for a game or two and bring up Devin Taves. Maybe. That's something to consider at this point. And now you brought up Ryan. He, without a doubt, should be put on the top power play line. But again, you know, we go back to what I had said before about him, and he only has 11 shots. 11. So you want him to fire that cannon. You want to tell him to fire that cannon whenever he has an opportunity. You want him to shoot through players. I don't care. It doesn't really matter. Shoot through our own guys at this point. Just get the puck on the net. I'm so beyond aggravated at this team right now. As well as they've done over the last 8 games, you know, aside from even last night, because they didn't really push back. And the score isn't really even indicative of the effort that they put forward, because one of the goals was an empty net goal. So yeah, they pushed back, tied the game. Ultimately, the last 4 minutes of the game gave the go-ahead goal away. So what are you going to do? And that was a weak play in the defensive zone. They pushed a puck up on a weak clear, turned the puck over, bang, bang, boom, as Butch would say, it's in the back of your net. So I don't have answers for you. I know I say that every single episode. It's one of those things where either the defense looks really good or they just look like trash. And it's not even everybody, because again, like in the past, and I brought this up on the Secondary Assist podcast, sometimes you notice defensemen for doing good things, or you don't notice them at all when they're doing good things, and that's the type of defenseman you want. If they're doing the right thing, they're in the right spot, you're not really going to notice them. They're going to be invisible. It's when a player stands out and makes a great play, or scores a great goal and makes a great pass, takes a hit to make a pass, then you're going to notice them as well. Unless they're taking a penalty, which a couple of our defensemen have been guilty of. Keep the sticks on the ice. None of this high sticking. None of the sticks in the midsection or by the hands. Stop slowing the players down. Use the body. Use the body smartly, I should even say. So, you know, hopefully Barry Trotz sees that the power play needs a shakeup and flip-flops those players around, and you know, ultimately we pot a couple of goals and get on the right side of the ledger there score-wise. So thanks for the questions. All right, with all the defensive talk and the defensive lapses, I'm going to give you a little clip of my appearance on the Secondary Assist podcast a few weeks back with Shane Blackburn and Andy Graziano. In this clip, we talk about some of the defensive issues and some of the possible solutions. Now, granted, this was prior to Leddy continuously going down a negative path here. So give it a listen. Let me know what you think.
But I do think something has to be done on the defensive end. There's two defensemen who are sticking out, getting regular playing time, that I could see a change being made. One of them is Boychuk and the other being Hickey. Now, I love Hickey, too. Hickey brings the speed, but too many times he just gets thrown around like a rag doll, or just overpowered and overworked, either in the corner or in front of the net. I don't know if anyone agrees with me there, but those are the two that have stuck out for me. I think Pulock has been tremendous both defensively and offensively. I think Leddy has been okay. You're not going to pull him out of the lineup. I think Pelech has improved since the first couple of games of the season. And I think Mayfield has been hands down our best all-around defenseman since he was inserted into the lineup.
Which is mind-boggling. You noticed I said bottling. I'm happy for him, though. I like that deal that kind of Garth gave him on the way out, as much as some of us questioned it. But it's a good deal, and he's shown improvement the last bunch of seasons every year, just kind of shocking you out of nowhere. The way he skates, the way he handles the puck, chipping in offensively, being like a force on the back end and physical, and I don't know. I always judge a defenseman by how much you don't notice. You know, obviously, defensemen will make big plays sometimes where you'd be like, oh, that was a great hit, or that was a nice block, or a great way to get back to break it up, a la Letty. But then you have guys that just stand out for kind of stupid stuff. And, you know, obviously, Nightvine won't be happy with us the way we've been dogging her boy. But I've noticed Boychuk, especially against the Hurricanes yesterday. He got crunched behind the net and kind of got stuck behind there. And, you know, like Andy said, he's had a hard time getting out of the zone. And Hickey, you know, he's one of those guys where he could be both of the players that I referenced in the same game sometimes. He'll make great plays, then you won't notice him because he's doing the right thing, he's in the right spot. And then all of a sudden it's like, what the heck just happened? Where'd the Hickey go? He's gone.
Yeah.
So I'm usually pretty bad at this. I was way off on my Taves comparable in the NHL. But correct me if I'm wrong, Mayfield strikes me as the Islanders' Hamonic comparable. As the, all right, so we shipped off Hamonic. Who's going to come in and be that?
Hamonic
solid,
was a better skater. Hamonic was a much more fluid skater.
But solid
than I think
back
Mayfield will ever be.
But solid back end guy who's going to defend the house and not give up any.
Yeah.
And at the same time, every once in a while, you'll look up and you'll be like, oh, hey, look who's contributing offensively, too.
You know, for a team that does not have a 5-on-5 possession player that's over 50%, I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. And I know people are going to question me on that and look it up for themselves after the show. And please do that, because you'll see that I'm not wrong. 5-on-5 Corsi, which is the possession metric. The Islanders don't have one player that's at 50% or better. Cal Clutterbuck leads the Islanders in 5-on-5 Corsi at 49.1%. Matt Martin is second at 49%.
That's terrible.
Believe it or not. Matthew Barzal is third at 47.3%. Scott Mayfield actually leads Islanders defensemen at 46.4, followed by Thomas Hickey at 46.
Yeah, but aren't Clutterbuck's and Martin's numbers skewed because of their time on ice?
Well, no, because it just goes strictly by the shots generated versus shots against when you're on the ice. So it's, you know, like, for instance, Clutterbuck's, while their numbers might be lower, for instance, Clutterbuck is 83-86, Corsi 4, Corsi against, where a guy like Matthew Barzal, for instance, is 125-139. But the percentage is what you're looking at, right? It's almost like looking at a cholesterol number, right? You're looking at the ratio, not necessarily the overall number. So you're not concerned with the 83 versus 86 comparative to 125 versus 139, which is what you're saying. It's ice time dependent. You're looking at the Corsi 4 percentage, which is just the percentage of Corsi 4 into total Corsi, right?
If you say
just
so.
Shot generation. So, I mean, you go all the way down the road, and the worst Islander defenseman right now in possession numbers are Ryan Pulock and Nick Leddy, who are both below 38%.
Also, look at the type of defenseman that they both are.
Right. They're playing huge minutes. They're playing against the other team's top lines. And for a team that's giving up 60 shot attempts at 5-on-5 per game, you know, if they're on the ice 23, 24 minutes, which they have been, of course they're going to suffer that fate. I don't like Nick Leddy's game since, like I said, I said this on last week's show. I don't like Nick Leddy's game since like January of last year, when, you know, I heard that he told Islander management that he wasn't adverse to being traded. It wasn't a trade demand, but if something did come up, he wouldn't have minded moving. Since that point, in which, coincidentally, right, Shane, right after that, David Pagnotta puts out that right as soon as we recorded that. But anyway, ever since that point, Nick Leddy hasn't been the same. And I don't know exactly how else to describe it. It's hard to kind of get in his head and figure out why his game to me has declined, but it's clearly suffering. And I think if there's any deal to be made down the road, it could include him, with Devin Toews being looked at as a potential replacement.
But do you feel Trotz and company can maybe correct whatever is ailing him, either mentally or physically?
Maybe.
Or,
and who knows, Michael? It could be that Trotz is getting him to focus, and the whole team, coincident, you know, getting them to focus so much on defense first, which has not been their MO in past years under Jack Capuano and Doug Weight, right? It was always go, 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 go. Now that Trotz has come in and is trying to implement this whole structure change to defense leads to good offense, maybe that's what we're seeing. Maybe we're just seeing a kind of an evolution in Nick Leddy's game rather than a decline. I don't know. To me, the eye test tells me he just doesn't look the same. He just doesn't look right. He hasn't looked right for a while to me. In terms of his transition, in terms of his kind of get up and go, it's just in terms of his playmaking on the power play, he just hasn't looked the same to me. And I really can't put my finger on it. I'm hoping it's what I said, the latter. It's just the evolution and not the decline.
I mean, I think everybody, including himself, kind of needs to be patient with the whole process. And obviously players are only, you know, they can only control what they can control. And I understand that. And, you know, I'm sure he goes out there and he's doing his best, obviously, but you know, like we've been saying though, they're being put against basically the grinding stone, game in and game out, especially logging the minutes that he's logging. So, all it takes though in this game is, and you're fully aware of this, having played yourself, you know, a good game here, a little bit of confidence.
Yep.
And then it's just kind of a snowball from there. I mean, look at, hopefully with Pulak.
Pulak.
Whatever his name is.
That guy. Pulak. That, you know, the guy on the back end there, the young guy.
Number six.
You know, and that's another thing, too. Someone said to me the other day with a bunch of Twitter questions, a whole bunch of jersey numbers, and I had to look them up. I was like, who the hell is this? 18? No, we traded him. No.
No, it's true. And I think, you know, Shane, we've all played the game. Shane's played the game. I've played the game. You've played the game. Confidence is huge. Shane and I have talked about this on this podcast before. If you don't have it, obviously you're gripping the stick tight, and it just affects your game from top to bottom. It's kind of something that people don't talk about that much, but it's a huge, huge component into the final output, obviously. So.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for episode 13 of the Isles Faithful podcast. I've been your host, Michael Schuerlein. We went over a bunch of stuff here. We got another game in Florida against the Florida Panthers coming up. Hopefully we could clean up some of the things that have been ailing the New York Islanders and get back on a winning track here. You can find us on Facebook, The Isles Faithful. You can find us on Twitter at Faithful Isles. You can follow my personal account as well there at Isles Blogger. Give the Secondary Assist podcast a follow. Give them a listen and a subscribe too. Like Andy said, subscribe in two concurrent tabs. One for you, one for your wife. Doesn't really matter. Look, I want you to follow as many Islander accounts as you possibly can. And those boys do a great job over there. So give them a listen. We will see you in episode 14, which will hopefully be right around the corner. As always, thank you for listening, and let's go, Islanders.